Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to episode number 85 of the Going Old School show, live on blogtalkradio.com on this Monday, May 29th, Memorial Day edition of the year 2023. And guess what we're going to talk about? JC dropped, I think, but we're going to get him back in a moment. But yeah, we're going to have the four of us. It's going to be myself, John Crow. It'll be Mark Fortney, my NBA guy, and Joe Ferran, one of our co-hosts here on our Wednesday night extravaganza. So while we wait for JC to get back in, guys, first of all, Joe Jolly, bring JC in so we're getting all set here. And by the magic of online sports talk radio, we have him back. Mr. John Crow, how are you, buddy?
How about that? Just like, a magician out in Vegas, I disappeared and reappeared in a matter of 3 seconds.
Yeah, how about that? I can't see you, but I hear your voice, and that's good enough. So I did the introductions, guys. I just want to say thank you all, but let's introduce the cast. Johnny Sunchip's here on this side of the glass. Let's bring in John Crow. JC, how are you today, man? Thanks for your time.
Very good, and thank you to all the veterans, the brave men and women. On this day, we bring back their memories and thank them for all the freedoms that we have on this Memorial Day.
Yeah. One more person not going unattended, and that is Mr. Mark Fortney. Mark, always a pleasure. I know it's card night. Thank you so much for your time.
Oh, you're very welcome, Chips. Glad to spill some sports knowledge, preferably Celtics Game 7 knowledge tonight. Some good predictions up ahead.
Love it. And we'll get to our opening thought in a minute, but let's bring in the fourth part of this show as far as the ensemble, Mr. Joe Ferran. Joseph, happy Memorial Day. What's up, buddy?
Happy Memorial Day, and I'm just going to tag up on what JC said, because without the veterans out there, we don't have the freedom that we enjoy today. So a thank you to all the veterans that are out there alive, and all the ones, rest in peace, all the ones that are not with us.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you to all the servicemen and women who have given their lives in the past, do so now, their families. We couldn't be here without you. I know it's cliche, but these are days when it's perspective and it's a reality check, and this is one of them. Keep in mind, just be thankful for everything you have today. You know, put the guns away, do whatever you have to do, let go of that hate, and just bring everyone in for the same cause, because we're all living this life together. And we thank all the servicemen and women, past and present, who have given their time and their lives and their dedication, their hearts and souls, what have you. So thank you, thank you, thank you from the bottom of our hearts. But I do want to start with some opening thoughts. I will go last. JC, you want to start with an opening thought? We'll go right down the line here, if you don't mind.
Absolutely. And since this is a Game 7, you know, we'll talk a lot of Celtics Heat for the right to go to the NBA Finals and the Nuggets. But I want to give a shout-out. Memorial Day is you know, a post number one for the baseball season in an odd, you know, sort of circumstance, because the Red Sox are traveling west to east. They get today off. One of 18 is not playing today. But be thankful for what you have for the Red Sox so far. We all thought it would be a rebuilding season after a tumultuous offseason. But think about it. They're 11-5-1 in series. Out of those five, three of those have been sweeps. Mm-hmm. So think about that, including Mr. Ferran's Pittsburgh Pirates, who swept them in Fenway earlier this year. But, hey, starting pitching has been better. You've done this without Rafael Devers being as good as he can. So be thankful that your Boston Red Sox are giving you important games, because – we don't know what's going to happen at the Garden tonight. The Red Sox may be the only one left standing. Hopefully not after midnight tonight.
Okay, Mark.
Well, summer is upon us, and that's what we've always wanted. We've always wanted warmer temperatures. However, despite summer coming into play, NFL is always chomping at the bit one way or the other, whether it be the off season, whether it be trades or mini camps. Crystal ball here. I have this weird sense of feeling that there is a lot of juju going around the Las Vegas Raiders. it's kind of ironic how the team is suddenly Patriots West with everybody and their brother headed over there. It's kind of ironic that the Super Bowl is to be played over there. It's kind of ironic that you have a quarterback currently who just had a surgery in Jimmy Garoppolo, who has the same career path as Jim Plunkett, who won two Super Bowls with the Raiders. Irony there? Maybe, maybe not. Although there are rumors on the back burner that the man who is supposed to be retired, who currently bought a 1% stake in the Las Vegas Raiders operation, could be filling the void for Jimmy Garoppolo should he get the boot, no pun intended, out the door. I feel a lot of wind swirling around the Las Vegas Raiders this year, and should Brady come back, it's going to be a very oddball NFL season. Joe, what you got for us?
All right, so this is all the Celtics fans out there. Don't be like the Bruins fans. Bring your voices tonight. Bring them loud and clear and support the team from the start to the finish tonight. Don't be like the Bees fans sitting on your butt and being, nah, you're loud, but nothing compared. I want that place rocking tonight. Win or lose, I want that place rocking.
It's funny you mentioned the Bruins, because that's my opening thought. Seems like it's been months when we've seen hockey in Boston, haven't we? I mean, it's been a couple weeks, but with the Celtics now being the focus, we're all looking going, boy, shouldn't the Bruins be here as well? You know what? They're not. But one team that is are the Florida Panthers. Bruins fans, how do you feel about that, right? You're up 3-1 against the Florida Panthers. Paul Maurice does the unthinkable, or maybe the thinkable, Mike Montgomery, you're listening, by pulling the starting goaltender, Alex Lyon, in game 3 in the third period, inserting Sergei Bobrovsky, who has been lights out, and one of the most important cogs in their run. You can argue Kuchuk in that too, but solid goaltending will get you very far in the playoffs. This guy has been stout between the pipes, okay? To the tune of, they're 11-1 since being down 3-1 against the Boston Bruins. And they are now in the finals. And they're awaiting what could be, yes, a former Bruins coach in Bruce Cassidy. And I leave you with this, Bruins fans. Would Bruce Cassidy have inserted Blake Swayman a little earlier in the series than he did? This guy here says yes. Coaching doesn't make a difference. The players cried about it in the offseason because he was too hard, too rough, called them out. They got what they wanted. And what happened? Got what they deserved in the end as far as coaching. Bruins fans, chew on that, because that's got to be a little interesting. It's a reason to root for them, because Florida was the presidential trophy winner 2 years ago. So you can say, okay, Bruins, get your act together. Maybe you can do the same. It's going to be a tough task for them and a tough pill to swallow and a tough, tough road to overcome next year when it's basically Stanley Cup final or bust. But Bruins fans, enjoy this playoff run because it could be what you just did not want to happen. Be that as it may. All right. That's going to bring us to the topic at hand. From left to right on our online sports talk, blog talk, radio edition, we have Jill Ferran, Mark Fortney, John Crow, and myself. But guys, let's start with the recap of Game 6. First of all, when we last talked as an ensemble, we didn't think we'd be here in Game 7. I didn't. And if anyone told me there would be a Game 7 or anything on 3-0, I'd call you a liar. Casey, I'm going to start with you. Why are we at this point? And let's talk about how it ended up in Game 6, because with 0.5 seconds left, the narrative for this team could have changed, meaning the Boston Celtics, if Derek White does not tip in that perfectly placed rebound just a couple of days ago. But where do we stand now? Talk about it. Where do we go from here? And how do we get to this point, JC?
Yeah, we got to this point because, one, the Celtics actually decided to wake up and actually show up with some effort and showcase their talent. Two, Joe Mazzulla actually coached some important things into his team. And thirdly, it's some pure damn luck, man. The Heat should have closed this series out. Again, what we saw the other night, on Saturday night in Miami, was a carbon copy of what we saw Game 7 last year, Heat Celtics Eastern Conference Finals. Celtics have everything involved winning the game. Up 10, 4 to go, and they puddle again like they did last year. Last year, Jimmy Butler couldn't make the shot. This year, Duncan Robinson can't make the shot. And if not for Derek White, Derek effing freaking White, coming up huge, doing what he is supposed to do. You know? And I know we killed Jason, you know, we killed Smart and Tatum for not being urgent in the Philly series, being a half a second too late. Well, they learned a little bit. Smart shot it fast, allowing Derek White to get 0.1 left on the clock. So to answer your question, Chips, they've learned a little bit, so there's a little bit of maturity. Talent, they are a better team than the Miami Heat. Mm-hmm. The Heat, letting off the rope, Jimmy Butler, you know, Bam Adebayo, coming up with their worst games of the series.
Yep.
How can you clank up 20% in the paint in Game 6 in a game that is really your Game 7 at home? It'll be interesting tonight because I'm with you. If anyone tells you they know what to expect at 8:32 tonight at the TD Garden, they're lying. I don't know about you, Mark, but I have no idea what to expect from this team, the Boston Celtics, who, once they have gone over their backs off the wall and say they are favorites tonight, 7.5-point favorites, should make history. But as Charles Barkley aptly said, straight to Jaylen Brown's face, Saturday night, it's not historic unless you win Game 7.
Yep.
Are they up to the task?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this is do or die right now. At 10:32, I don't think I'm going to have a clear-cut answer as to what's going to happen. The first half, we might as well just say, put it in the books. We'll wait until the second half. We'll see what the halftime deficit is, and we'll see what plays out in the second half. But Stan Van Gundy said it best with 3 seconds left. If Miami does not keep their eyes on Derek White following the inbound pass, it could spell trouble. And Max Strus turned his back on the inbounder, who then, with his great basketball IQ, found his way to the rim for the miss. And I had told Chips earlier in the week, give Greg Popovich a ring for this should we get to that point. Because without Greg Popovich turning Derek White loose to us, we may not have a situation like this or even situations like last year in the finals. We have another piece who can actually get us to go. We have Marcus Smart, the glue of the team. We have Alpha 1 and Alpha 2, supposedly, in Brown and Tatum. And now we have the guy who, during his ESPN story that I read earlier this week, was struggling to find his way to belong. And Greg Popovich had said, Derek White needs to learn that he belongs. And now that he's got that confidence, now that he has injected that life into that entire roster, into the entire fan base, like the blow-up creatures at the auto sales lots, we now have a series. We now have a team. We now have a potential destination to the NBA Finals. And tonight, this place is going to be absolutely electric. I mean, Arrowhead Stadium and Arco Arena will not hold a candle. The TD Garden tonight, Joe, there's going to be crazy decibel levels tonight.
So, bring us to Game 4, halftime. Celtics down by 8, all but dead in the water. Who the hell snuck up and turned on the switch? Because since that halftime of Game 4, it's been a different team. They've decided to play a little bit of defense. They've taken some timely threes. The last game we won with only two guys making threes, and that's Martin White. The rest of the team couldn't put in the ocean for the three-point range. Tonight is Mr. Average Al's night. He's been atrocious the last two series. But just think about this, boys. He went from being the longest tenured guy never to make the finals to 2 years in a row making the finals. But yes, the Celtics will win, and yes, Average Al will have a better-than-average game. because it's the role players tonight that got to step up. I look, you can get Tatum, Brown, Butler, and Abayu. You need, there's going to be a role player stepping up tonight, and I'm going to call it and say it's going to be Mr. Al Horford. And the Celtics are going to get it done.
It's Going Old School Show, live on blogtalkradio.com, May 29th of 2022, Happy Memorial Day. Jill Foran, Mark Fortney, John Crow, and yours truly, Johnny Sunchips here. It's always the NBA talk with Game 7 tonight, tipping off approximately 8:30 p.m. from the Boston Garden. Both teams on the brink of historic proportions. Celtics, historical comeback. Miami on the verge of a historical collapse. One thing's for sure, history will be made tonight. We've heard the stats about the 0-151, teams being down 0-3, and we get that there are three teams who have gotten to this point, all have lost. But that doesn't mean anything tonight because it's a different story. The Celtics are at home, whereas in 51, the New York Knicks are on the road against Rochester. In 1994, the Nuggets are on the road in Utah in the second round. And Portland in 2003, the most recent to come from behind, with the only to lose a Game 7 loss to Dallas in the opening round. All three of those losing teams were on the road. Celtics are not. It's going to be a raucous arena. But let's talk about, Joe, and let's kind of piggyback on what you were saying. You know, what happened with flipping the switch down 3-0, and we talked about how they quit in Game 3, and I'm going to go on, and that's you heard it from me. I think they actually lied down and quit, whether they were saving it up for later on in the playoff, or later on in this round, who knows, but they quit in Game 3. They made a heck of a comeback. But, JC, I'm going to ask you, one big thing about the Celtics team in their DNA that we've talked about is they, when their back's against the wall, they play very, very well, and they have in the series. But tonight, their backs are not against the wall. That could be a difference in how they play, because if there's one person who is picking Miami to win this game tonight outside of Miami and Dade County, I haven't seen them. So they are not playing with their backs against the wall. JC, how does that factor into this team's performance tonight?
Again, it's all how they see it. It's not really how we see it. It's, you know, do they still see themselves up against the wall still because they realize they should have closed out this series by, you know, showing up in games 1, 2, and 3 and maybe should have moved on? I mean, you can make the case that this series should have been a 5-game series with the Celtics moving on. But do they view this as must win in Game 7 to go to the NBA Finals? You know, we go back to what Game 6 was last year in the NBA Finals against the Golden State Warriors and what should have been a must-win game. And for 2.5 quarters, they were there, but then they let the rope loose. And the question for me is very simple, you know, and Charles Barkley asked Jaylen Brown the question, why do you guys let the rope loose? Up 10, 4 to go. Why can't you guys just bury teams? Why can't you put them away? And it was a very honest answer by Jaylen Brown. He said, first, I don't know. But then he answered the question by saying, I think we get too apprehensive.
Yep.
We are trying to be too perfect, and we're afraid to make the mistake. And with that mindset, we make the mistake. So to me, it's very simple. They're the most talented team. Can they turn off what's in between their ears and just go play tonight? Go play like it's the playground. Your talent will go forward. And let's be honest, the requirement for this team to win has been pretty simple the entire year. Hit 40% of your threes.
Yep.
Launch 40 threes a game. Well, that didn't happen in Game 6. As Joe, you pointed out, Jason Tatum didn't make a three. Jaylen Brown didn't make a three. Al Horford didn't make a three. It was only White and Smart combining for 7 of 35 attempts. Yet by the grace of God and Derek effing White, they won the game. So that can be a feather in their cap that they found a different way to win Game 6 to be alive for tonight's Game 7. So to answer your question, Chips, it's all how they view it because they have been their worst enemy the last 2 years. Because if they have played up to potential of what they really are as a team, they would be in a position to repeating as NBA champions instead of trying to make history coming back the first time from 3-0. So as I believe that they can do it, but it's like everything else. Until they show me they can do it, I can't say they can because they haven't done it yet. They have never been in this situation, as you said, Chips. They are the favorites at home, should win easily tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Can they do it, Mark? And let me ask you, Malcolm Brogdon's going to play tonight. We know he has the problem in the hand. Can he provide some stability, especially during those key four, you know, we come up to another situation. Lead 4 minutes to go. Can he help key them and get them through that stagnation in offense should they find themselves in that situation again tonight?
The powers that Boston has on their bench, on their team, that's the reason why Malcolm Brogdon signed with Boston in the offseason. He even said it. I enjoy what this team has to offer. This is the type of environment that I want to be in. He's going to come into this game, hand or no hand, and he's going to do everything that he can to contribute to the cause in order to get to the finals. The occurrence that happened Saturday night should inflate him just as much as it inflates the rest of the team. If there's a song that could go with tonight, I would seriously say Van Halen Right Now. Mm-hmm. Focus on Right Now. Game three, you let down on Sunday night, not performing to standards, put all of that behind you. This is now, focus on everything that's ahead of you from 8:30 till the end of the game. As a Boston fan, I would like to see June 1st, Thursday, June 1st, 9 o'clock. That's what I want to see. But Boston fans, anybody who is cheering for Boston, wants to watch this game for those purposes, they're not going to see that if Boston resorts back to the past, to their old ways, if they get double-digit leads, if they squander their double-digit leads. Malcolm Brogdon's going to be a huge piece to this puzzle. Everybody's going to be a huge piece to this puzzle. Finally getting Grant Williams off the bench, that's a huge piece to this puzzle. Marcus Smart being the glue that holds the team together, that's a huge piece to this puzzle. And yes, another piece of this puzzle that I didn't expect to see second half Saturday night, Robert Williams. When I saw that arm get locked up, question of, oh no, is Bam Adebayo going to dominate the paint? Is Miami going to throw Cody Zeller in there for a couple of minutes to dominate the paint? Boston has the pieces to make this work. And Joe, I can only hope for the best tonight. I don't know about you.
I just say this about Malcolm Brogdon. Let him play. Get him in there as early as possible. See what he gives you. See what his arm will allow him to do. His shooting touch is obviously off, but can he give you the minutes needed to give guys rest? Can he play some defense? Because, look, if the Celtics play some defense tonight and dig in and buy into it, they should have no problem holding Miami down to about 85, 90 points because Miami's not a high-scoring team. They're an inside-scoring team from the paint, and if you keep on pestering them, now I have out of value. If you make him push him out further away and make him dribble a little bit because he seems to give the ball away, then we'll be fine. If we can make some timely threes, some key threes, then, I mean, I hope, look, why we lose the 10-point lead? Because what are we doing with 4 minutes left? We're chucking up threes. Why? Take your time, run the offense, get a good shot off. No, instead we were thinking 10 seconds into the 24-second clock and we're chucking up threes. When are we going to learn? When are we going to learn to, like, just put the foot on the throat and put teams away? Over the last two games, they've had excellent end of quarters. Not excellent, but better than what they have been. Minus a quarter or two, but for the most part, they've been playing better last 4 minutes of the quarters, except the fourth quarter of game six. But overall, they've been better than what they were in the first three games. But it's like the game show from the 70s said, will the real Boston Celtics please step forward? Because I don't know which team's going to show up tonight.
Joe, we know you've got to go in a couple minutes, but we have a caller on the line, and I know you know him very well, like myself and like JC. He's a regular caller to our show on Wednesday nights, and he's calling us on Monday. He's Lou from New Jersey. Louis, how are you, Derek?
Hey, fellas, hi. Yeah.
What's happening?
Wednesday's something happens, so I'll try to get back in Wednesday's, if, you know, whenever possible. But I'm glad you're here tonight.
Excellent.
Lou, thanks for delaying date night and coming on the show with us. I appreciate it.
Thanks. I found it last night, but I found it last night, so I got some time. I think I'll just, you know, call it in.
Yeah. All right, give us your take. As an outsider, who you got tonight?
Even though that I'm not a big fan of them, I got the Celtics. I mean, I knew there was not going to be a sweep when even Miami was going up 2-0, 3-0. Like, no, Celtics are going to come back. They know this team too well. They got their weapons. And, you know, so I'm really thinking that this is going to be the Celtics series. But I'll say one thing. I thought that shot was late on Saturday night. I did not think that shot was in on time.
What, did Derek White tip in?
Yeah.
I wasn't even close. That was they didn't even have to go to the review. My opinion. No.
Lou, the ball was halfway up when the light went on. I mean, even Derek White, body language said it all because he's right there and the light's right in his face. The one time, look, the only question people had was the 3 seconds instead of 2.1.
Right.
The NBA covered their butt and settled that. So, I mean, on to game seven.
All right, Lou, what's on the show this week? What's on your show this week, Louis?
Well, we're going to cover the finals of both events soon we get there. We'll take a look at maybe the college baseball playoffs, which is going to start. Also, have a monthly calendar of events. Is that time of the month? We'll take a look at maybe some Gold Cup soccer because that schedule is out. And we'll recap Indy as well, which was a doozy yesterday.
Yep.
So,
and
yes.
Mm-hmm. We've also got some French Open tennis underway from Roland Garros too.
Yes, we do. We got French Open tennis, and of course we'll also look. Because I think the Memorial Tournament is this weekend, mm-hmm. a.k.a. the fifth major.
All right, Louis, how can people get a hold of you when they hear your show?
Okay, well, first let me tell you that we're also now on YouTube. So all you got to do is go into YouTube and dial The Enhanced Sports Show. Type in it exactly as it says or you won't get swatted.
Nice.
And, of course, you can always call the number 512-543-4662 on Saturdays 4 to 6. If you can make this work out, I would like you to call in on the 17th of June, which is a Saturday, because it's a special show and a special milestone, for that matter, as well. So if you can find time to call, especially on that date, I greatly appreciate it.
All right, Louis. Sounds good. We'll look for you on YouTube.
I will on the day of the show.
All right, man. You take care of yourself. Thanks for calling in, Louis.
Thank you.
Thank you, Louis.
Bye, Louis.
That's Lou from New Jersey, and he called in. So we have about 30 minutes left. Joe, I know you have to step out soon, so if we lose you in this transition, I'll let the guys know, but always appreciate your time.
Give me 1 second on this.
Go for it. Yep,
hey, Mark, the only reason I sit at Busted Chops on his date night, Mark, was because he said he couldn't come on one night because it was date night, so he couldn't call it. He couldn't call into your show with Chip because he had a date night. So that's why I kind of busted shops on that one.
Yeah, and good for him. I think a date night over our show takes precedent any day of the week, man. Just my opinion.
And my final thought is Celtics by 10-plus tonight. Ooh. And, gentlemen, have a good rest of the show and enjoy the game.
Thanks,
all right, Joe. You too,
Joe.
All right, so we got the three of us, Mark and yours truly, Johnny Sunships, here for the rest of these extravaganza for another 30 minutes or so. But, guys, let's continue with the Celtics talk. I want to talk about a couple of things that worry me. JC, just two off the top related to Boston and Miami. stars. Jason Tatum continued to struggle in the fourth quarter for Boston. And Jimmy Butler, did he regain a little bit of the form that he had in the first three games in the fourth quarter of game six, JC?
Yeah, it was a little role reversal. Tatum was great in the first half, 25 points. But as you mentioned, that second half, 1 for 9, 6 points in that second half, you know, 4 clutch free throws. But again, you as a star, as he aptly puts, humbly, of course, one of the best players in the world, you can't have a 1 for 9 when your team is facing an elimination game. Thankfully for the Celtics, Marcus Smart and Jaylen Brown were there to pick up the pace for them offensively. And, hey, this is where the stars shine. Mm-hmm. You know, we could talk about role players trying to fill in the gaps as much as we want, but it's going to be Tatum, Brown, Butler, Adebayo. And the thing that Butler did that, you know, Tatum wasn't as aggressive in that second half. Butler, when he couldn't hit a two from any place, went after it. They realized that the refs were calling fouls. It was a fabulous pace in the first half. They let the boys play. In the second half, that third quarter, Miami was in the bonus from 9-12 on in the third quarter. They were calling everything, and Jimmy Butler took control of that, especially in those last 4 minutes of that fourth quarter. So, hey, Scott Foster is the lead ref tonight. Let's see how he plays. I hope he lets him play tonight because we don't want ticky-tack fouls on either side. We just want to let the boys play. But it is stars. And if the Celtics do not get a combined 50 or more from Brown and Tatum, they will not win this game. Conversely, on the other side, Bam Adebayo, you have got to take control of your mismatches. Listen, a lot of times you had Tatum on you. A lot of times you had mismatches, and you settled for shots outside of 10, 12-foot range. Drive it like you did in the third quarter. If they can get that kind of aggressiveness from him and Jimmy Butler, they'll be okay. Because I don't worry about the Miami Heat being ready to play this game. What I heard from Eric Spoelstra immediately following game six the other night, I wish we could play right now.
Yep.
We don't want to wait 48 hours. You know, the question will be, is that just coach speak? How devastated was that locker room? Nick Friedell from ESPN said it was the quietest locker room he had ever been in. And that guy has been in championship locker rooms for quite a while now. So it'll be interesting to see how that comes out. And, you know, as you said, Chip, stars, stars, stars. Brown figured it out. Butler figured it out. Can Tatum and Adebayo do it? And Mark, we've heard a lot about these undrafted players for the Heat. And Eric Spoelstra hates the fact that we call them that. And I agree with him because at this point, they're not undrafted players. They're almost NBA veteran players now because they've played so much basketball in the last 3 years. But Vincent Robinson, Duncan Robinson, found his way. He led that way, kept the Heat around in that third quarter. Who's going to be that guy in the Heat if Butler and Adebayo struggle early?
I think I have an immediate answer for you, and it's the same guy. I swear I don't think he missed the other night in the first half, and that's Caleb Martin. Boston had no answer for any shot he took. Every single time that ball was in his hands, Celtics fans would just gasp because you knew that shot was going up. There was even the 1-3 where he actually had the time to check his feet, see if they were behind the line, and he was getting uncontested shots. However, on the defensive end, Marcus Smart had his number, giving him ball fakes and watching Caleb Martin jump into the stands. However, back to the offensive side of the ball, these so-called undrafted guys are what's making the Miami engine go. We could talk about Butler and Adebayo all day. Gabe Vincent, another one. Can't miss. A wide open shot. Duncan Robinson, who hadn't really played that much this season because Tyler Herro took over the reins. And Duncan Robinson wouldn't really be as much of a factor in this series, I don't think, if Tyler Herro was around. But Butler, Adebayo, they're the stars. They need to show up. And sadly for them, I got a feeling that this game might turn out the same way that the final game of the Philly-Boston series did. Boston went to Philadelphia, did what they had to do. They drained the life out of Philly. Embiid and Harden show up to Boston, and they don't have any life in them because they should have won Game 6 at home. Butler sure can come out with whatever spark that he has, but I don't think it's going to be enough because, Crow, like you said, the locker room was dead. There's no way that they're going to get on that plane and say, well, we got to win Game 7. We have to do this now. Surely they're going to have that mentality because they're NBA players and they have that chance. But let's face it, they just overcame their second double-digit deficit in the game to get to a one-point lead and then a miracle tip-in. Yep. Letting the inbounder come out and get the miracle tip-in with one-tenth of a second left. I don't think it's in the cards for Miami tonight. However, it could be. Should Brown and Tatum not show up? Should the powers that be resort back to what they featured in Game 3, where they were so lackluster and droopy and walking like they're in the middle of a windstorm? They all need to show up tonight. Tatum, Brown especially, if they want to be the alphas, if they want to be the pillars of this team, of this franchise, that's going to get them to the finals, then they desperately need to show up. But behind them, too, they have guys that can help inflate their egos just the same, i.e. Derek White, Marcus Smart, get Brogdon off the bench. I think, personally, Jimmy Butler's fire came out in the earlier part of the series courtesy of Grant Williams. Ever since that game, I haven't really seen too much of Jimmy Butler's verbal fire, his tenacity. It's more so demonstrated through body language. And now with a tip-in that's forced the game 7, I don't think he's going to have the same fire. It's going to be more forced, if anything. It's not even going to be natural.
I'll tell you something, guys. If you're Miami, this is one thing you can hang your hat on, because this is an incredible stat. The Heat shot 30.2% on two-point opportunities game 6, which is the second worst of any team this season, including the playoffs. Do you realize how hard that is to do, JC? Shoot 30% from 2 points range and shoot 46.7% from 3-point range. If you're the Miami Heat, you've just got to convert on these first shot opportunities to make it that much better. I mean, that's an incredible stat. The first team since 2020 to shoot 30.2% or worse from two and 46.7% or better from three, and only the second time in the last 9 seasons. That's incredible. And if you're Miami, you may not be – I don't think you can do much worse than that from two-point range. So I'm feeling good about that, JC, from the Heat.
Well, let me ask you this, Chips. Is that kind of just overthinking things and not playing as the game presents itself? Were they a little too worried about the Celtics having very creative hands, having very energetic hands, getting in their space, and just not letting it fly from 2 points and being aggressive as they showed later in the game? Was it a little more mental than we think? Because, again, we look at this Heat team and we look at them and say, you know what, that Heat culture, they're there every step of the way. They may get themselves in hard times like the Celtics do and other NBA teams do at times, but that Heat culture, they know and they will make the right play. In Game 6, was it purely just mental? And it just, after you miss and miss and miss, does it just get in your head?
Well, let me respond. I'll let you do that. I think a lot of it's mental, but I give credit to the Celtics defense because the Celtics weren't letting Miami get into any offensive rhythm whatsoever, cutting down alleys, cutting down lanes, stopping him from driving, closing all the passing lanes off, the outlets. That would credit the Celtics. They clamped on defensively, and they played some really good ball, which I think led to it getting into Miami's head a little bit because they were missing some really easy bunnies on the easy layups. But again, little bit of both. Credit to Boston big time, and give Miami a little bit of a mulligan because they just weren't able to adjust to that. Could it happen differently tonight? Yeah. But if you're the Celtics and you come out defensively like that again, it's going to pose some problems. And how can Miami handle that, Mark? And I'll go to you because if there's one thing I'm noticing from the Celtics team is that they are playing some lockdown defense at the best possible time.
Right you are, Chips. I mean, it was a tale of two halves the other night. The first half, the defense was scattered everywhere. A lot of open, uncontested shots. Caleb Martin, as I had mentioned before, I mean, the guy was a house of fire. He couldn't miss anything, even when he drove to the basket. Second half, everything changed. The three ball was taken away. Every time somebody was ready to line up for a three, there was a Celtics defender right in their face the minute they got the ball. Every time somebody had the ball, there was no chance of a shot. Damn near 24-second violations on multiple possessions for Miami. They were struggling to get the ball in the ocean. They were struggling to get the right offense that they needed in order to get themselves in a winning position. If that defense shows up tonight, particularly for 48 minutes, this game is out the window, and Denver is hopping the next flight to Boston. If this defense doesn't show up, Boston can't have tit-for-tat possessions where they trade baskets with Miami, where one thing that I'd seen a lot in this series, and it's when Boston gets particularly to a double-digit lead, I don't know why it's always Jimmy Butler, but it's always Jimmy Butler with a walk right up to the basket with four green jerseys standing in the paint, or even a rebounding situation where there's three green jerseys in the paint and Jimmy Butler rips it away. Boston's defense has to be consistent tonight in order to make this thing go. Yes, obviously we need the offense, but the defense too, clamping down on Miami in the second half, that's what put them towards the position to win game six. Granted, it took the luck of a tip-in, but the defense clamped down. Miami's offense was starting to explode in the first half. And then come the second half, Boston's defense came alive. They need to do the same thing tonight.
Go ahead, JC.
Yeah, it's true. It's one of those games where, it's, you know, I look at it as who's going to be better defensively? You know, defensively, energy, 50-50 balls. How many times in game six, and let's be honest, the only way the Heat were even hanging around, they were plus 21 from three-point range. Yep. They were getting on three and four different possessions, getting the 50-50 balls and getting that three-point shot. If the Celtics can lock that down and rein that in, then, yeah, we're going to see another game seven like they did against Philadelphia, because I think this is going to be one of those games where it's going to get such in your head. And, you know, if the Celtics can just put out the noise and just play the way they're capable of playing, they'll be fine. The question is, will they allow themselves to do that? And can the Heat allow themselves to get back to that free-flowing team that we saw in Game 3 where they were just pounding everything. They were switching man-to-man to zone on every other possession against the Celtics, and the Celtics didn't have any answer. And then they go down and knock three. So when you look at this game, when you say that it can go any number of ways, it really can. And as a fan, it's going to be incredible to see who steps up. Because we've all seen incredible performances, not only by stars, but also by role players, in all four of the major sports as they go on to the championship. And I'll ask you, start with Mark. Yes, we hear a game seven. But how does this franchise, speaking of the Boston Celtics, how do you think they would view themselves if they didn't complete the historic run, win a game seven at home against an eighth seed and get themselves back to an NBA Finals? What happens if the unthinkable reverts to them blowing another home playoff game tonight? Not fans, not media. I want you to give me, how do you think the organization views this season?
I could see Brad Stevens in the boardroom preparing explosives and blow-up options for designing a new team. He would have to consider probably bringing in other faces and other talents to try and maybe visit the expectations of what Celtics fans have had of this team over the past few years, particularly the last couple of years. You have two guys on your team in Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown who are competing for alpha spots. And when everybody says Celtics, Tatum and Brown are the one and two names that are spoken of. If this is a failure tonight, there was a mulligan last year with the failure against Golden State. Sure, it was, oh, wow, they had the lead early in the series, and then they blew it, but it was Golden State and their dynasty. Okay, here's your mulligan. This is your second chance. As Boston Celtics, you're not going to get strike three. Somebody's going to go. You'd likely see somebody like Horford retire. A lot of guys off the bench even jumping ship. This team would need a complete makeover. I don't think that the fan base would be willing to see the same faces with, maybe it can happen. Maybe we can get there. But I would hope that for their sake that this doesn't happen. But, Crow, you're right. You have to play that card. You have to say, what if this doesn't happen? It's been done throughout the course of history, three times in particular. Three teams being down 0-3, getting to Game 7, maybe not with the highest of expectations that Boston has in the last 2 years, but this is big. This is definitely big. And also, too, should Boston fall by the wayside tonight, who cares about the Derek White tip-in?
Yep.
It's not even much a factor anymore. I've watched that tip-in 30,000 times to build up my energy for tonight. If I go and watch that after a loss, or if a Celtics fan goes and watches that after losing the series, who cares? It doesn't matter anymore.
The pressure is on this team to win the NBA championship. They were the overwhelming favorites coming into the year. Mark, you made a good point. The mulligan for last year, you get it. Whether you want to say it or not, they were a couple games away from winning an NBA championship. They didn't, yada, yada, yada. We've all rehashed and revisited and talked about why they didn't do it and so forth and so on. It's a year later, and they were the favorite coming into the season. You win tonight, the job is still a long way from being over. And you could still see Brad Stevens, even if they make it to a final, planning on dismembering this team to an extent. Because you've got to, as a GM, you've got to look towards the future. And you got to realize that, okay, we still may lose. And it's just not good enough if you're the Boston Celtics, especially with the talent they've had for the past 6 years. And that's Brown and Tatum. So it is a long way to go, even if they win tonight. But it's a really, really good question. But in the 10 minutes we have left, guys, I want to throw out a couple of things to you because I want to start with this. JC, which team has more pressure on them tonight to win this game?
No question, it's the Boston Celtics for the reasons you just spoke of, and same with you, Mark, the way you laid it out. I mean, nothing of this series matters if the Celtics throw it back up and lose yet again at home. We won't even remember any of the good things. Oh, they stepped up. They rallied in the fourth quarter in Game 4 and saved their season. Game 5, they dominated. Game 6, Derek F. and White did it again, and we were here. Nobody cares. Nobody will care. It's another disappointment. Basically, it's a Ronda Rousey kick in the groin because for the second year in a row, you will have just let the rope go. It was there for the taking and not go. That's why it's amazing because we've been down this for 2 years and, you know, we haven't been able to say with any type of confidence that, yep, the Celtics learned their lesson and have moved on, moved forward, corrected the mistake. I'm not there yet, even after winning the last three games. I would have been there had they kept that 10-point lead with 4 minutes to go and cruise their way to a win in game six. But what they showed me in the last 4 minutes is, oh, crap, that stuff is still in our heads. We still know we can make the same mistakes that we've been making for the last 2 years. Doesn't matter the coach. It's the players who continue to make the same mistakes. So, yeah, it's unbelievable. The Miami Heat have literally no pressure on them walking into Boston tonight.
Yep.
I hate the phrase, well, they have nothing to play for, because that's bullshit.
Yeah.
They have the NBA Finals and a championship to fight for, to play for. So I always hate when media says, well, they got, you know, they got nothing to lose, nothing to play for. Nope, they do. They have exactly the same. But as you put it, Chips, the Heat can walk in there. They lose this game tonight, they're an afterthought. They weren't supposed to be here. They're an eighth seed. They lost their first play-in game. They were down 10 to the Bulls. They were supposed to lose that game, too, until Jimmy Butler said, hey, I ain't losing to the Bulls. They got rid of me. I'm not losing to them. They beat Giannis. They dominated the Knicks. They dominated the Boston Celtics for three straight games. They're playing with house money tonight, folks. And that worries the bleep out of me, Mark.
Mm-hmm.
It really does. Because the Heat are, as much as the last 3 seconds pains them from game six, they're a team that does things right more than they do wrong.
For sure. I mean, that's a Pat Riley-driven team. As Chip had mentioned in prior broadcasts, Pat Riley has his hand in one quarter of the history of the NBA Finals.
Yep.
That's truly remarkable, especially when you have, as the media and all the fans like to say, these undrafted guys, these no-name people with Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo around them. That's what makes their engine go. They're scrappy guys. They, like you said, Crow, they have nothing to lose. They're playing with house money. But if Boston comes into this game losing sight of everything that they've played for this year, Miami's just going to run right over them. One thing that could backfire for Boston is if the excitement of the tip-in carries over into this game too much, jittery too much, and lose focus on this. Because you could see them at some point launching threes and making a couple at a time and, oh, wow, up to 8-point lead, up to 10-point lead. And the diehard Celtics fans will know, we've seen this before. We've seen 10, 12, 15-point leads evaporate. Boston needs to stay focused, play the game that they know how to play, and utilize their personnel to their max potential. And they can't lose their heads. This isn't just Missoula controlling them. This is them controlling them. This is a team who, during game three, I had said, this team looks like the inmates run the asylum.
Mm-hmm.
They're all for themselves. They're all shooting threes. They don't care about the future. They just want to make their paycheck and run right off the court. Miami, too, they're going to come into this game. They can't let that tip-in bother them. They have to shrug that off and go into Boston, play hard like their GM, like their coach tells them to, like they all know how to. This is going to be a very, very big second half based game. The first half is just going to be back and forth, just like last game. Last game was back and forth. Boston would go up 7, bump it to 8, bump it to 10. Miami brings it back to 6, back to 4, goes back to 8, and then the halftime lead was 4. Chances are you're going to see the same kind of first half.
Yes.
This is going to be, once again, a tale of two halves. And one of the biggest factors in this whole game is going to be that crowd. This is going to be the Seattle Seahawks of the NBA that crowd is going, it's almost like they're going to be on the court playing with them. That's going to be a huge incentive for Boston to, A, focus, and B, eyes on the prize.
Excellent.
Leprechaun up.
Okay, 4 minutes left in the show, guys, so I'm going to ask you guys a question. I'm going to start. Take 1 minute and answer, please. I'm going to start. I want a key to each for each team, and give me your winner. And if you don't mind me starting, I'd like to. Miami's keys to tonight of winning are hitting field goal, high field goal percentage on initial shots. They are too small. The Celtics control the offensive boards. Miami, you're going to win tonight. You can't miss those initial shots. Celtics, shoot better than 20% from the arc, and you will win tonight. They've lived and died by that all year. That's their MO. They got away with winning game six by only shooting 20%. They shoot upwards of 40 at their end. I like the Celtics tonight by 3. JC, your thoughts, and then we'll go with Mark.
One key step for me, turnovers. Control the ball. Don't have empty possessions. If the Celtics have more than 12 turnovers, they will lose the game tonight. They have to control things, not let the Heat get easy baskets. They will have the effort defensively, get them to easy baskets of their own. But if they continue to have empty possessions, we saw it, Jason Tatum with a carry later in the fourth quarter.
Yep.
Probably never see that called again until next season. But again, Jaylen Brown, a couple of turnovers. Marcus Smart with a turnover. Celtics, 12 turnovers. Be less, and you will be hosting the Joker come Thursday night.
Love it.
Well, I would have to say Boston needs to come out with that same lockdown defense that they showed up with in the second half of Game 6 on a 48-minute basis. Can't let these so-called no-name guys drain threes, which is their MO. Their low-down game really isn't much of anything. Everything is three-point shots for them. If Boston can jump in the passing lane and ruin the rhythm and get physical with these guys, as Celtics fans have told them to do so, they'll be moving on. But do not turn the ball over, and don't let the emotions get the best of you. If you're Miami, keep chucking the three if it's there for you. That's the only thing that's going to carry them to a final. However, I know Boston's history with game sevens in the playoffs usually end up in some pretty widespread deficits. So I'm going to go on a limb here. I'm going to say Boston 118-105.
Pulling away. I have them winning too. I think we all have the Celtics winning too. But you know what? The talk's going to stop here. And it's been a lot of talk since Saturday, man. Let the game, I mean, I cannot wait till 8:30, guys, Eastern time here in the Boston area, because it's going to be loud. It's historic in some way, shape, or form. Game 7 tonight at the Garden. Tip off about 8:30 p.m., man. Enjoy it, as I know we all will. JC, Mark, it's always been a pleasure, guys. Thanks very much for your time on this Memorial Day weekend.
Thank you, Chips, and hopefully we will all be celebrating a Celtics win come around midnight.
You bet.
Hopefully I'll have something to do Thursday night at 9.
Yeah, boy. Let's do it. Tip off, baby. Go
Let's do it.
Yeah, man. Let's have fun. That's going to do it here for Joe Ferrand, John Crow, Mark Fournier. This is yours truly, Johnny Sunchips. Thank you for listening to the Going Old School show on blogtalkradio.com. We're here usually every Wednesday, juggling that around a little bit, but follow us on social on our Facebook page and our various Twitters. But enjoy Game 7 tonight, guys and girls, and for all fans, whoop it up. Party like it's 2023 NBA. For Mark, for John, and for Joe, this is Johnny Sunchips. Have a great night, everybody.